This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Today on CityCast Pittsburgh, Kennywood opens for the season in just a couple weeks. So to celebrate, we're revisiting highlights from our conversation with local historian Mark Hauser. He sat down with host Megan Harris last year ahead of Kennywood's 125th birthday to explain how a little picnic grove became the amusement park we know and love today. It's Tuesday, April 9th. I'm Mallory Falk, and here's what Pittsburgh's talking about.
I'm with historian and speaker Mark Hauser. Hey, Mark. Welcome back to CityCast Pittsburgh.
Hi, Megan. Thanks for having me.
The last time you were here, you told me that Pittsburgh's bluff about having the most bridges was BS. You're not going to ruin Kennywood or anything, are you?
No. I promise I won't ruin Kennywood.
Well, let's go back to those days. I wouldn't be like Sophia and the Golden Girls. Picture it, Pittsburgh, 1898. What was going on at the time and what was life like here?
Wow. What was it? A big year. 1898 is the year of the Spanish-American War. So Pittsburgh was, like the rest of the country, whipped up in a war frenzy. But also, the city had been changing pretty dramatically. Of course, there was so many factories along the riverfronts, not just steel, but glass, iron, aluminum, all the different industries, and all that coal being burned in those factories and in the homes, too. And you've got the inclines climbing up and down.
Yeah, they were kind of routine, not just the Mon and the Duquesne, but we had a bunch of them back then.
Yeah, something like 11.
But not too many like recreational spots. Like we think of Pittsburgh as being so rich for that. Now, at the time, they were brand new, like Schenley, Riverview, Highland. None of them were very old at the time.
Right, exactly. One of the main places people would gather, well, both two of them were down at the Point. One was the Exposition Grounds. And that's where there would be regular shows sort of displaying the latest in technology for people to come and marvel and wonder at. And then John Philip Sousa seemed to come by every year to direct a band. There was a music hall there. And then across the river, of course, was the Exposition Park, which is where the Pirates began playing. And they were already well established in the 1890s. But as you say, there were new parks coming. And one of the reasons is that it was so smoky and choky down there downtown that the director of public works for the city of Pittsburgh, Edward Bigelow, made it one of his main jobs to find and set up some parks in parts of Pittsburgh that were a little less surrounded by that pollution.
Yeah. And we were really at the beginning of what became an enormous population boom. I think at the time they were just over 300,000 people, which is oddly what we're at now. But that would double in the next 30 years. So I guess they were looking for, stuff for people to do when they weren't working these, industrial jobs.
Absolutely. And one thing you could do would be to have a picnic and walk around in air where it wouldn't make you cough to breathe.
I know. So take us back to Kenny's Grove.
Yes, Kenny's Grove was the name of a very popular picnic grounds up on the bluffs above the Monongahela River that was named for Thomas Kenny. So Tom Kenny was a guy who mined coal out of the hillside there and had, like a little operation that he could get coal down onto barges and supply all the factories that were making downtown Pittsburgh so intolerable with pollution. So that kind of benefited him too, that up on top of the bluff, he had a picnic ground and people could take a steamer up the river to Kenny's Landing, or they could take a train to Kenny's Station along the riverside there. And so Kennywood, is also named for Thomas Kenny, of course.
I like that they kept it thematic, why mess with success?
Indeed. So that had been going on for decades. And what changed things was the introduction of an electric trolley line that went through or right past that picnic ground. And that was owned by Andrew Mellon.
Is a trolley different than a railway? Because I don't know the difference. I should. I've lived here long enough.
Well, The difference generally is that trolleys are running instead of on coal or, you know, steam, they're running on electric power.
So we had that. So this is 125th birthday. This would be 1898. We had electric systems
electric
running
trolleys.
That far outside the city.
And before then, we had cable cars, just like they have still in San Francisco.
Okay.
So that's how people got around within the city before there were automobiles, before there were buses. I mean, there were horses and carriages, horses pulled.
But that's a much longer trip if
right.
you're doing it that way. Well, and today the rail line connects like Homestead, Duquesne, Braddock, McKeesport. Mm-hmm. Is this like then, I guess, the genesis of all that?
Yeah, the Monongahela Street Railway.
And, nice.
And Andrew Mellon bought that. And now his dad had owned a short line railway that connected Latrobe and Ligonier.
And in Westmoreland County.
In Westmoreland County. And a common practice of the day was to put a park either at one end or the other or somewhere in the middle of a streetcar or a railroad line so that you would draw passengers beyond your typical commuters and people going to work at factories or what have you.
Yeah.
That's
give
where,
them something to do.
Yeah, exactly. Bring people on the weekends when the traffic is down. So that's where Idlewild Park came from.
Oh. So it predates Kennywood.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So Andrew Mellon took a lesson from his dad. And when he bought this trolley line, he said, you know, we should use all of this power we're generating to drive the cars back and forth on the track between McKeesport and Pittsburgh. And we can put an amusement park right there on Kenny's Grove and add some rides and put a carousel in. And that power will, you know, also power the lights that light it up at night so people can come out and stroll in the evening and steal a kiss from their bell or their bow.
And I do not understand electrical grids, but if we needed electricity for the railway, does that mean, is that how we got electricity then for the amusement park?
That's right. In the early days, you know, when we had a less reliable power grid, just the fact that the street railway needed its own source of power, its generation to drive these cars between McKeesport and the city, that same power source could be used to light lights and turn a carousel. And
that's how we got a carousel?
Indeed. That was the first ride. The first year when Kennywood opened, it had a carousel. And it also had, you know, a dance hall slash kitchen restaurant venue that they called a casino back then.
Oh, okay. Language evolves, I guess.
Right. It wasn't for gambling. I'm pretty sure there was no blackjack or slot machines in this casino. People used the word casino back then for a big building where people got together for parties and social events.
Hey, Pittsburgh. I want to tell you about a real Steel Town hero. Mary Cardwell Dawson was just the coolest. Not only was she the proprietess of that gorgeous Victorian mansion on Apple Street in Homewood, but inside it, she presided over the National Negro Opera Company. She founded guilds for other Black singers all over the nation, and she was a mentor for fellow opera singers from here to Washington, D.C. And lucky for you, our modern Pittsburgh opera has a show celebrating her legacy. Get your tickets now for The Passion of Mary Cardwell Dawson. It's at the Byam Theater through May 5th. And don't be nervous if you're new to opera. The show is in English. It's just over an hour and features a little dialogue for folks to follow along. Tickets start at just $15, and there are all kinds of discounts and special offers for students, teachers, seniors, and veterans. Get your tickets now in our show notes for the Pittsburgh Opera. That's at pittsburghopera.org.
So what other rides did they have kind of at the beginning? I think we're in the neighborhood of like a Ferris wheel, but did we actually have one? And I think I read this somewhere, the Old Mill. Was that like an OG, like a true original, or do people just say that?
The Old Mill is the oldest still surviving ride.
Was it there at like when they, you know, first opened up?
Not in 1898. I think it dates back to the teens, like
okay.
1914, something like that.
That's pretty original.
And so it was upgraded early in its existence to, it used to have a kind of a roller coaster log flume plunge on it.
Like a, what do they call those? Like a toboggan or something like that?
Right. And then it became Garfield.
Oh,
it's later history.
Oh, the Old Mill,
it's the
yeah.
The same one. It's been through so. There's a hilarious YouTube video. I think the series is called Defunct Land that looks at
We've been trying to get Defunct Land to talk to us on the show for a solid year. If you have any hookups, let me know.
My kids showed me that one, and it's hilarious.
But everything that was built at that point, that would be all wood, right? Like, I get a headache just thinking about being on any of those rides.
Yes. Well, that's what makes them great, right? Wooden roller coasters. I mean, the tracks have...
Which, those came later.
Well, there were roller coasters early on, but they were these... roller coasters were kind of being invented back then. In the late 1890s.
That far back, really?
Yeah. And the early ones, you know, Jane had pulled it up a hill, but because it had to be safe and because people had lower expectations of how fast a roller coaster could go, you could probably outrun them.
Which ones are, because we still have a bunch of old wooden ones. It's what? Jackrabbit, Racer.
The Thunderbolt.
And Thunderbolt, yeah. That's it. Thunderbolt had a different name, though, originally.
It did. It was called Pippin.
That was way before my time.
I don't know what it was after. I was going to say after the 60s musical or whatever.
Is it unique to still have so many wooden roller coasters of, you know, that kind of like early era?
Yeah. In fact, Kennywood is one of only two amusement parks that are still functioning in the country that are also have a national historic designation.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, a historic landmark. Kennywood was the second one, I think, to get that designation. The first one is in Rye, New York. It's called Playland. So Playland is a National Historic Landmark, and Kennywood is too. And that also kind of controls, it has some impact on how much the park can modernize. But I think.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
But I think the historic nature of Kennywood, that's part of its charm.
Yeah,
its
totally.
In fact, the person that got it, its National Historic status was Carl Hughes, a former president. I've got a great roller coaster story too from that Carl Hughes guy. He's the guy behind the slogan, the roller coaster capital of the world.
Oh, okay.
Right? So Kennywood is the roller coaster capital of the world. I don't think
I've ever heard that before, but sure.
That was part of the theme song in the 80s when I was growing up and going to Kennywood, right?
I feel like Cedar Point's really taken that one over. Sorry.
No. Pittsburgh is the roller. We may not have more bridges than any other city, but we are still the roller coaster capital of the world.
Sure.
But anyway, Carl Hughes, the former president of Kennywood, told a great story. He's no longer with us, but he got the idea for roller coaster capital from the father of Art Rooney, you know, the founder of the Steelers. Rooney's dad had a beer brewery, and the beers, I think it was General Braddock's Brewery, and it said premium beer on the bottle. And Carl asked Mr. Rooney, how do you become a premium beer? And Rooney said, tell your printer.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So that's how we are the roller coaster capital of the world, because we said so.
You know, talking about those old roller coasters, I love the note in your story for Pittsburgh Magazine with the modern Kennywood GM saying that 10% of the boards on those roller coasters get changed every year. That is so much rebuilding.
Yeah, they do it in the wintertime. They have to put a tent around their workspace, right, to stay warm. But they get pine wood and I think from Georgia and where else? I think he said Washington. But they supply, you know, boxcars of wood have to come in. They already every year assume that they'll have to replace about 10%, especially on the tight turns. That's where it doesn't last so long.
You get the wear and tear.
Yeah.
That's such an interesting tightrope to walk, you know, like being able to modernize and keep crowds interested, but also preserve all of these old spaces that people are incredibly nostalgic about, but also mining safety and making sure that everyone is okay while they're there. I don't know. Kennywood is supposed to open in a few days. Any celebrations that you're aware of that maybe folks can be a part of?
You know, an obvious one is the brand new ride.
Brand new ride?
Yeah. It's called Spinvasion. And I think it's the first, I mean, imagine the spider ride with the cars that spin around.
Okay.
And, you know, it looks like a spider, mm-hmm. hence the name. But so this one is called Spinvasion, and it's kind of an alien theme. And it's like a spider, but, you know, it goes to 11. And I don't think I can ever ride it because I can't ride those spin rides anymore.
No, it's like the, you know, must be this tall to ride, must be this young to ride, you know, like my.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember as a kid, literally, I remember going to Kennywood and riding on the Thunderbolt with my dad. The first time I ever rode a roller coaster, I must have been 8 years old or something.
Nice.
And it was thrilling. Yeah, I think we waited in line to sit in the front and, you know. That's a spectacular roller coaster, especially because you don't have to go up a hill first. You just plunge straight into the ravine. But I remember very well that after that, I wanted to go on the spider. that looks exciting. Let's go, Dad. And this same guy who had seemed very brave moments ago looked at me and said, there's no way. I can't go on spin rides. And I couldn't make any sense of that. Oh, you could go fast in the roller coaster. Why can't we go on a spin ride?
It's different. It's just different now.
cannot do it. I now have the same problem.
Mark Hauser is a historian, writer, and speaker, and lucky for me, also a friend. More than 1,000 people have taken his antique skyscraper rooftop tours in Pittsburgh. You can sign up for the next tour at his website, antiqueskyscrapers.com, and we'll have a link in the show notes. Thank you again for doing this.
Thank you so much, Megan. It's always a pleasure.
That's all for today here on CityCast Pittsburgh. If you're liking the show, tell a friend, rate us, leave us a review, and make sure you're subscribed to that Hey Pittsburgh newsletter. You know, that food edition is coming. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you to Kennywood. Maybe not Noah's Ark, though. What do you think?